we've gone away from my own participation and described a little bit about the Jewish Agency to you. And I said I'd get back to the CJF. As a consequence of my involvement in the Jewish Agency, I have first of all been now for a couple of years a vice chairman of the CJF's Committee on Overseas Services, but a year ago I was asked to chair a subcommittee of that Overseas Services Committee, and I'm the chairman of the CJF Committee on the Jewish Agency, whose function it is to help the Jewish Agency improve its process and involvement of the community representatives in the Jewish Agency in the Jewish Agency process, and the other side of the coin, improve the process by which the Jewish Agency functions, by which the communities are better and more informed and more knowledgeable about the Jewish Agency, which gets such a large part of the funds which our communities raise. More than two-thirds of the Federation's campaign dollars wind up going to UJA, and more than 90% of that winds up going to the Jewish Agency. So well over 60%, or I'd say over 60% of the dollars we raise in Pittsburgh go to the Jewish Agency, and it's important that our community understand it. So I'm involved in a process which is intended to improve that whole communication both ways, not only for Pittsburgh, but for the United States and Canada. That's one aspect of my communal involvement in the national scene. I am also a member of the executive committee of the Joint Distribution Committee, and am chairman of its Western Europe, I'm vice chairman of its Western Europe committee. Our Pittsburgh compatriot and my good friend Don Robinson asked me to serve in those roles. I was asked to serve in some of them before he became president.
We won't give him all the credit.
I became involved a number of years ago in a national organization called the National Foundation for Jewish Culture, and several years ago became a vice president, and just this December was asked to and agreed to accept and was elected president of the National Foundation for Jewish Culture. I suppose you want to know what the National Foundation for Jewish Culture
is. Has it any relation to what your sister is doing?
No,
none at all.
The National Foundation for Jewish Culture does many things. It was organized about 21 years ago as the result of a study that the Council of Jewish Federations and Welfare Funds made, where there was an expressed feeling that the whole field of Jewish culture, which was recognized by the total Jewish community as being important, but it was nothing much was happening. There were a lot of small agencies working in various aspects of the field of Jewish culture, but there was nothing very significant really going on. As a result of that study, the National Foundation for Jewish Culture was organized, and it still is funded principally by allocations from the, or it was, no, I, let me correct that. It was funded up until about 4 years ago. It still is, but I have to explain that. By allocations from the various federations throughout the country. Our Pittsburgh Federation, for years, included in its allocations an allocation to the National Foundation. And it maintained a number, it had a series of activities. The most important single thing which it did, it perceived long before this enormous development a number of years ago of Jewish studies programs on the campuses. It started a program and began to make modest grants, some almost from the beginning of its existence, some 19 or 20 years ago, to Jewish men and women on the campuses who wanted to do their graduate work, pre-doctoral and doctoral work, in the field of Jewish studies. In the last 20 years, with a relatively modest budget, in the early years, maybe $30,000 a year. In recent years, perhaps somewhere between $50,000 and $70,000 a year. They have. I'll talk only about the doctoral grants. They have given about 300 doctoral grants to young men and women who took their doctorates in various fields of Jewish studies. Almost 100% of the recipients of those grants remained in the field of Jewish studies. Some of our greatest Jewish scholars today, both in Israel and in America. It's interesting that the field of Jewish scholarship in Israel consists, to an unusually, a surprisingly large extent, Americans who have gone to Israel. American Jewish scholars have gone there. Oh, we have many in Israel, you know, non-Americans. Of the approximately 400 men and women who are teaching Jewish studies in formal Jewish studies programs on Jewish campuses today, of which there were only 7 such programs at the time that the foundation started its grants. Over half of those people are recipients of National Foundation grants. It's highly questionable if this fantastic demand, which resulted in the proliferation of Jewish study programs in the campuses, could have been staffed if these scholars weren't there. So I think that a tremendous contribution to Jewish life was made by that program. The foundation played another role. Most of the Jewish studies programs on the campuses, not all, but a majority of them, came into existence because individuals and the various colleges and universities sensed a growing demand. And they were started with seed money that came from the Jewish community. We provided such seed monies at the University of Pittsburgh. There are Jewish studies courses on the campus of Pittsburgh. And the pattern has been identical. The universities didn't need and didn't want ongoing help. But they did need the seed money in order to start new programs. The foundation served as a consultant to communities all over the country. It developed an expertise, and as the programs began to develop, they became more and more expert and were able to serve as a consultant to communities all over the country in getting their programs started. So in the field of Jewish studies, they made an enormous contribution. Most of their other activity, has been in this area of consultant and prodder to other institutions to develop programs. A little-known program that has had a fantastic success story. About 5 or 6 years ago, and because they were getting requests of all kinds, both from the institutions themselves and from scholars, they became aware of the fact that although there were in the United States a number of excellent Jewish libraries and archives, either Union College, Brandeis University, Harvard University, there were a number of excellent libraries and archives. There was literally no communication between them, and there was no catalog of what's available and where it was. Foundation took the initiative to call 7 such institutions together just to discuss the problem. Out of that emerged a council on Jewish libraries and archives, which today has 23 associate members, in which a constant dialogue is going on between them. Still staffed, it's a new agency, still staffed by, it has no employees of its own. The staff of the national, I don't know what's, I'm not giving you the correct name, but it's a national organization of Jewish libraries and archives, staffed by National Foundation staff. A considerable amount of progress has been made in developing a national catalog of Jewish archival and other material that exists in these libraries. A conference in Jerusalem this year is going to establish an international association of this kind. And for anybody who is knowledgeable in this area will recognize what a tremendous contribution the National Foundation has made. Many other things. Just one more thing in passing, and I don't want to be promoting the National Foundation. It has, in the last 2 years, helped 3 agencies who are not on behalf of this association, but on the behalf of the Joint Cultural Appeal, which I'll explain to you in a moment. I told you that up until 4 years ago, the foundation got its funding directly from the Federation. It has obtained grants, direct grants and matching grants, of over $1 million from the National Endowment for the Humanities for various badly needed projects for 3 Jewish cultural institutions in the field of libraries and archives with which it is affiliated through the Joint Cultural Appeal. So it's just, and I want to stop there in describing the activity of the National Foundation for Jewish Culture. It's no one more thing. It is now developing a program of grants which has just been announced, which won't become functional for perhaps a year, a grants program to stimulate new work in the arts. A program similar to its grants program in the scholarship field, but in the various fields of the arts. Music, dance, drama, fiction, poetry, and photography, and so forth. It has no story to tell other than it is undertaking to develop such a program. About 4 years ago, at the urging of the Council of Federations, 9 Jewish cultural agencies, all of which were receiving some measure of Federation support through the country, but each appealing directly to the Federation, were joined into a joint cultural appeal, which again, the National Foundation was designated as the agency to staff and direct its activity, and all 9 agencies together appeal to the federations, and the federations now make one grant to the joint cultural appeal rather than nine individual grants, some of them they didn't make, some they did make, to the individual agencies. And the agencies themselves, in the joint cultural appeal, developed a formula for distribution of the funds. And in the 4-5 years since that's been in existence, we did succeed in about doubling the amount of community support in terms of allocations. That's enough for the joint cultural appeal.
Well, I'm a little hazy. I got lost somewhere between the foundation and the appeal, the cultural appeal.
Well, the
hierarchy.
The foundation is one of nine agencies which are members of the joint cultural appeal and are funded by the appeal. But the Joint Cultural Appeal also has a responsibility for doing the work on behalf, the foundation has the responsibility of doing the work on behalf of the Joint Cultural Appeal.
The Joint Cultural Appeal is merely distributing money.
It collects and distributes, right.
Function.
Yeah. And none of the other eight agencies spend any of their budget to do the fundraising at the federation level. So it's foundation staff which deals with the federations on behalf of the Joint Cultural Appeal, of which it is also a beneficiary.
Gotcha.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's enough. That's enough for the National Foundation. I do other things too, but I can't remember them. I'd have to pull my bio out that I give when I'm asked to give it.
I thought she covered most of the things that were in that bio.
Let me ask you one thing.
Yeah.
Well, if you have the bio, you got it from the Federation.
Yes. When you say your daughter started in the first Hillel class, were you at all part of starting the Hillel in Pittsburgh?
No, I think I ought to go into where I fit into the spectrum in terms of religious affiliation or non-affiliation and so forth. I consider myself to be and it's a misnomer, a secular Jew. I use that description because I am not affiliated with any congregation. Don't belong to any congregation. I'm not a practicing religious. I consider myself to be a practicing Jew, but not a religious Jew. I sent my daughter to Hillel Academy because I wanted her to get the best Jewish education that was available at the time, and that, in my judgment, was what was being offered even at the kindergarten level and what was being visualized as being offered by Hillel Academy. I support many congregations and I'm friendly to them. I just don't feel comfortable. It's the way I was brought up. I don't feel comfortable in a formal religious observance. But nevertheless, my Jewish background and education includes a significant component of study of the Bible and its history. We observe the Jewish holidays in our home, and we just stopped short of religious, sort of have a congregational affiliation. Many of, no, I was not. No, I was not. Stop this. I don't want to say anything. I was not bar mitzvah. And I have felt no need to be bar mitzvah. It's bothered me a little sometimes, and occasionally I played with the thought that maybe I ought to do it, but I never have. In our home in Detroit, many of the leading rabbis in Detroit were frequent visitors, as were many of the famous writers and so forth. I didn't want to go into that. It's not important. And I am on a very, and I am on a very close, friendly basis with a number of our Pittsburgh rabbis, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, but I do not belong to the synagogue. It's a long response to your question whether I have been a supporter of every educational institution. I supported Hillel from the beginning, Institute of the old College of Jewish Studies, which now became the School of Advanced Jewish Studies. Oh, I stopped short of telling you that some 5-6 years ago, when the Federation started a process to examine the reasonableness of it funding two separate secondary educational programs, the Hebrew Institute had both an elementary and a secondary program, and the College of Jewish Studies had a secondary program. The result of that study, in which I participated, was the establishment of a new institution, the School of Advanced Jewish Studies, which absorbed both the College of Jewish Studies and the secondary program of the Hebrew Institute. And I was on the board and an officer of the School of Advanced Jewish Studies from its inception, and I'm still today a vice president of the School of Advanced Jewish Studies. That is one of the pieces of my community involvement. I've been a lifelong, not a lifelong Zionist. I would have to correct that. I was very close to the labor Zionist movement. I grew up in Detroit, but never affiliated with it. Although my sister was. My sister was in Hebronian and was very active in the labor Zionist movement. But I was very close in my teenage years, certainly, to the labor Zionist movement. And when I came to my wife and her family, had been lifelong Zionists. Mother-in-law was one of the founding members of Pioneer Women's Organization. My wife has been a member of Pioneer Women's Organization since we were married, and since she became an adult, an eligible marriage. I would say that from the time I met my wife, I changed my situation from being a friend of the Zionist movement to being a committed and identified Zionist. As a matter of principle, I have belonged, I never did believe that there was really a place in the United States, that the Zionist movement in the United States ought to be divided along the political lines that the Zionist movement in Palestine and in Israel followed. Labor Zionists, General Zionists, Revisionists, and what have you. So as a matter of living with that principle and the facts of life, the Zionist movement is divided in that way. I have, since I was a young man in Pittsburgh, since the time I've been in Pittsburgh virtually, been a member both of the Labor Zionist Organization and of the Zionist Organization of America. As the only way in which I could express that objection to its being divided along those ideological lines. I think I've covered my comment on that.
Oh, yeah. But I'm interested in your personal feelings about things.
Do you have my bio there? Yeah. I'll tell you if I miss anything.
You can use that bio. Okay.
Why don't I give you a copy of this, and right. If you think it's important, you can include it. I've covered most of what I've said. Yeah. There's one item here. I'm on the Board of Trustees. I have an international involvement, which I've described, in the Jewish Agency. I'm also a member of the Board of Trustees of the Memorial Foundation for Jewish Culture. As a representative of the Council of Federations of Brotherhoods, the Memorial Foundation of Jewish Culture came out of the Claims Conference headed by Nahum Bergman, who until this year headed both the Plains Conference and the Memorial Foundation for Jewish Culture. The German the Plains Conference, which was responsible for and arranged for, I think, well over $100 million of reparations from Germany, allocated some part of that to the Memorial Foundation for Jewish Culture, which supports Jewish cultural and educational activity all over the world, and to a limited degree in the United States. Their philosophy has always been that the United States, a self-sufficient country, should not get too much help. Although it does support, it has supported publications, all kinds of activity in the United States, too. It is a representative body. I don't know how many Jewish organizations in all over the world have official representation on the board of trustees of the Memorial Foundation. I sit there not as an individual, but as a representative of the Council of Jewish Foundations and Welfare. And you can pick up any of the other things.
Yeah.
The other things are not really important in terms of representing any significant amount of where I do my work.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you like to go from there?
It asks how you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community now, and you've touched on it. You know, you certainly don't think the Jewish education is adequate.
No, I am not at all satisfied. I am most unhappy about the fact that as the demographic study which the UJF made a couple of years ago indicated, and as a survey which the educational committee that I chaired made, which seemed to corroborate in terms of the enrollment, we made a survey that went far beyond enrollment, but among other things, we developed for the first time enrollment figures for the total Jewish educational enterprise. Nobody knew what it was. Each unit, the conservative movement may have known what the enrollment was in all the conservative schools. Each school certainly knew what its enrollment was. Hillel certainly knew what its enrollment was. The Federation knew what the enrollment was in the three day schools because its allocations to the day schools are on a per capita basis in its reporting. But nobody knew what the congregational schools in total involved. Our findings bore out what the demographic study had indicated, and we were dealing with formal Jewish education in elementary and secondary. It was very clearly defined. The demographic study, the question was broader, and some inferences had to be made. Both studies indicated that not more than, probably something less than half of our Jewish children get any Jewish education at all. So I am very distressed because I think its implications for future identity are horrendous, that at least half or more of our children never get any Jewish education. I am almost as badly distressed, I think equally distressed, that if the half of the children who do get any Jewish education, a large part of which is so limited that it is hardly meaningful, that probably over two-thirds of the children who get any elementary Jewish education at all quit after bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah and don't go on after